So we're going to revisit one of our favorite characters, and that is the Eved Avraham. Of course, his real name is Eliezer, but I say that not because of the reason that you think I'm saying that. The reason you would think I'm saying that is because that's what we're told in Chazal, who have a wonderful principle, and that is that they use it's one of our favorite principles. It's a theory of conservation of characters, when this application of it, theory of conservation of servants of Avraham. And at some point, Avraham did say to God, back by the introduction to the Brit Ben Abtarim, that I don't have any children, no one to inherit me, other than Damasik Eliezer. So that's when we meet Eliezer. In some of your memories, you may have remembered Eliezer earlier from the war between the four kings and the five kings, but that's not in the text. That's in Rashi. And then there's a Gemara with a couple of possibilities. One possibility is that he only took Eliezer, and Eliezer and Gematria, 318 men, is only Eliezer. So therefore, Eliezer is there in our imagination at one point. He's there for real at another point. And over here, Avram sends, look at the way that it's phrased. Vayomer Avraham el avdo zikan beto hamoshel bekol asher lo. I hope you all realize it would have been easier to write Eliezer. And in this particular case, the avoidance of calling him Eliezer is really what's remarkable, because it should have said, first of all, if we know it's Eliezer, it should have said Eliezer. Now, in the very beginning, I said it's Eliezer. So why did I say it's Eliezer? And I told you, not for the reason that you think, rather I'm basing it upon what he does or what happens to him. I mean, there are times in Tanakh that people's names are based upon actions. We should have a very strong suspicion that Lot's name becomes Lot only after he is Nimlat, only after he escapes. And the word escape is used multiple times in that narrative with Lot escaping, so then you just have to ask yourself, hold it. And those, you know, that may be troubled by this, I mean, the other characters that he is with, Sarah, that's not her original name. Avram is not his original name. And I understand very well how you can tell me that this is different, but I really don't care. And nonetheless, there are people that we suspect it's either they have this name and therefore these things happen to them, or things happen to them and therefore they get the name, and we don't always know which way to go with it. But in this case, God helps him in what he's doing, so he is Eliezer, Eliezer. He is the person that God helps. So therefore, even if his name weren't Eliezer, I would call him Eliezer without even knowing about any other Eliezer. I hope you now realize how interesting it is that he is Eliezer, and therefore, and likely he is Eliezer. Now, if you actually understood that, you should be troubled. And nonetheless, the Torah goes out of its way not to call him Eliezer, and uses lots and lots of words to say that Avdo Zakan Beto Hamoshel Bakolo Shalo, and so on. So, in a previous year, I asked the question, and that's actually in the new book, is what I discussed there. Did this person want to succeed, or did he want to fail? So there were reasons that obviously that I felt that perhaps he wanted to fail. That's not what I'm going to talk about today. Today what I'm going to talk about is the extent of his consistency in what he says, and there's two levels of this. One level is, to what extent does he faithfully follow the instructions which Avraham gives him? And the second point is, to what extent does he faithfully report what happened as he speaks? So essentially, I'm trying to get towards something else, and that is perhaps a character issue. One of the things which is noted by Chazal, and I guess all of us should note it as well, is this is the longest chapter in Bereshit. And one of the reasons why, 67 verses, and one of the reasons why it's so long is because you have a story, and then you have a story repeated. And by the way, we're saved, because at the very end of the story, it says that he comes back and he tells Yitzchak everything which happened. Which means it could have then went to a third time to tell, and then we would have been up to around 97 verses over here. But then again, I would have had more to speak about if he in fact did that. And just to make this all a little bit stronger, not only could this have just said Eliezer, it didn't have to tell us this at all. It just could have said and Yitzchak married Rivka, and say who she is, and just let's carry on to next week's parsha. Matter of fact, we could have skipped this entire episode and just started at the beginning of next week's parsha, and it tells us there, and it tells us who Yitzchak married, and go on with the story. Do you all really care about the whole dating? You want to know how Naomi and I met? You want to know about the first date? Do you want to ask her if she came over to me and asked me for my number and asked me out? Do you want to ask this question or not? She's not here to defend. She's not here to defend herself. But I've never heard her deny it. In fact, the way she puts it, I am the cause of the trouble that I'm in. I mean, something, right? I have only myself to blame. This is absolutely. So nobody cares about this, right? None of you really care about this ancient history. And how did Sarah meet Avraham? Look, once something's written, then I told you already. If it would have been more verses, I'd have more to talk about. Once something is written, then I can give you all kinds of explanations why it's there. It's the kind of thing, though, that if it weren't there, no one would have said, oh, you know, that's missing. Where are those 67 verses to talk about what exactly happened? None of us would have thought that something were missing if it skipped the... And when I say this week's parasha, I'm even willing to limit it to say, to skip all of chapter Kaf Dalet. And, okay, you want the chapter before? Fine. I would have skipped all of Perek Kaf Dalet, and you would not have known it was missing. Ah, finally, true. If you want to be young and hip, then you should say word. Like with some attitude also. Okay, so finally, I think that the point is taken. So let's start to read. Avraham calls him and makes a very formal vow over here, and he forces him to swear, which itself is interesting and tells you to what extent this is to be taken with seriousness. He makes him swear by the God of heaven and earth and so on. And here is what I would argue is the main point. Asher lo tikach isha livni mibnot hakna'ani asher anochi yoshev b'kirbo. The first point is, and I want you to pay attention to this. It would be very easy to compare the instructions that Avram gives with subsequently the instructions that Yitzchak gives. If you look at source number 4 for a second, and then we'll go backward. It says, V'yikra Yitzchak el Yaakov, v'yavrechoto, v'yitzavehu, v'yomer lo, lo tikach isha mibnot Kanaan. So one side of the coin is, do not marry somebody who is Canaanite. Kum lech padena aram, going to tell him exactly where to go to. Beita bituel, avi imecha, v'kach lecha misham isha mibnot lavan achi imecha. How is that for ruining any of the dating over here? By the way, you would think at this point, that just tells you exactly what you want, what he needs to know. I mean, most of us didn't know who we're supposed to marry. But over here it tells us, but then again, with Yaakov, everything is complicated. And even when it's not complicated, it's complicated because there's still a Racha and Leah issue that's going to come out to haunt the next couple of chapters. Actually, the repercussions are till the end of the book. But over here, what does he tell him to do? He tells him where to go to. He tells him which family to go to. And he tells him whose daughter he's supposed to marry. Those are pretty good instructions. You know, Yitzchak is pretty good. Again, if he would have said, Rachel bitak tana, then it would have been even better. But Lavan still would have fooled him. I mean, because that's what Lavan does. Now, just keeping that in mind, go backwards and look at what Avraham tells to this Eved. He says, starts off in the middle of Pasuk Gimel, where he says, Lo tikach isha levni b'bnot hakna'ani, asher anochi yoshev b'kirbo. And the other problem hovering over all of this, of course, is why can't Yitzchak go? I know you all know the reason for this. The only problem is the reason that you know is never written in the Torah, even though you think you know the reason. So why can't Yitzchak go? Why does he have to send somebody else to go? That is really quite mystifying. I personally think that this could be a great startup, especially for yeshiva boys who have no time to go on dates. You just send the Eved out to go on the date and find out who the right girl is and then let them go, Mazel Tov, you're engaged. You know, I found the girl for you. I think it'll solve the Shidduch crisis. It'll be very, very efficient. And, some guy who likes to go on dates is ready to make a lot of money. Anyway, I mean, what can go wrong? So over here, the first part is not to marry Benot HaKanani, Pasuk Dalet, Ki El, and I want you to pay attention to what he says, and more importantly, to what he doesn't say. Ki El Artsi, the El Moladeti Telech, V'Lakachti Sha Levni LiYitzchak. So what's missing? So what's missing is, especially if you keep in mind Lech Lecha, when he was told to leave his land and his birthplace and his father's house. So father's house is missing. While on the other hand, and not only is father's house missing, it doesn't say at all whose house to go to. All that we're told over here, now you could decide how general or how specific the location is, but that's what I want to stress. All that we're told over here is location, and we're told no personal identification. While on the other hand, if you compared it with Yitzhak's instructions to Yaakov, there you're told location and personal identification, which becomes very, very specific. Over here, Vayomi Lava Evid, Ulai Lotava Isha Lechet Acharai, El Aretz Azot. Well, maybe my startup is not going to work that well. Maybe a proxy going finding a girl, maybe the girl's going to look and say, you know, that's not enough. I'm not just going to go with some random guy and go off. And by the way, I say random guy, because you can say, what do you mean random guy? This is your cousin. No, we don't know who it is. There's no family mentioned. All that we're told is go to a location, go to a town. I mean, may as well had said, go to Bayonne, New Jersey, and find a girl, right? Well, there's lots of girls in Bayonne, New Jersey. Well, at least there used to be, right? So I'm just saying is what? So he says, maybe the girl's not going to want to come. The servant continues and he says, and by the way, this is a good servant because he's already thinking through contingency plans. You know, what he doesn't want to be the kind of guy just to keep coming back, you know, he, she said this and that. No, give me more directions. And what does those want to come? Ashiv et bincha el aretz asher yetzata misham. How critical was it? Because you said two things. He shouldn't marry somebody who's local. He should marry somebody from there. But you're asking me to go. But what if she doesn't want to come? And presumably, and I am reading between the lines, maybe she's going to want to meet him. Can I go bring him there in order to close the deal? You know, I'll find the girl, but we may need him there for the vort. You know, what can you do? Vayomei lav Avram, yishamer lecha, penta shiv et binishama. And I warn you, do not let my son go there. And again, no reason over here is given. Hashem Elokei Shamayim Asher Lakachani miBeit Avi. Now notice, now Avraham mentions Beit Avi, God who took me out of my father's home, Umi Eretz Moladeti. Right? God removed me from that, which itself is very interesting and probably deserves more attention. Veshediber li veshenishbal li lemor lezarachatein et haaretz hazot. Who yishlach malacho lefanecha? The God who took me out, now exactly how God did that is very intriguing, is going to send an agent or an angel, however you want to translate this, in front of you, v'lakachti isha levni misham, and you will succeed. Now the only reason I don't want to say it any stronger than I just now said it is because of the next verse. Meaning, after that dramatic thing, God's going to send an angel, and you're going to succeed, and she's going to come. Yeah, but if she doesn't want to come, so again, this, it would have been much better without this verse. It would have sounded far more dramatic. That whatever you do, do not bring my son there, which means there's really a dual mission. One part of the mission is do not let Yitzhak go there. The other part of the mission is that you bring a wife. But those are both the mission that you have. And therefore, you can try to bring the wife, and God's going to help you do it. You're going to succeed. But if you don't succeed, then don't bring Yitzhak there, because that is the other part of what's going on. But notice, at least so far, he's never said anything about the specific family. The only thing that he's identified is the location. And that's really what I wanted to point out. Except for one possibility, if you want to argue with me and be very clever. But apparently none of you were clever till this point. Because there was one thing you could have said. And that is, Avram, what was his point? Hashem Elokei HaShamayim Asher Lakachani miBeit Avi U'Me'eretz Lanati. Right? Now just notice the long dangling, whatever is dangling here. V'asher Dibir Li V'asher Nishba Li Lomai Lazar Chatein Et Haaretz Hazot Hu Yishlach Malachol V'necho Kachti Isha Livni Misham. So what is the sham? Okay, did you get my point? Is the sham Beit Avi? Did you all miss that? Yeah. When he told him to go, he told him to go to a place. He didn't tell him any family. He did mention his family now, and he said, God took me away from there. Which, by the way, may be that he thinks that to send Yitzchak there is a reversal of Lech Lecha. It's a reversal of what Avram's mission was, to leave that place. Which, by the way, if that's the case, then why the insistence on marrying somebody from there? So hold on for this for a moment, because I think we can begin to understand some of this. But first I have to show you that our dangling modifier over here. It said, God took me out of mi beit avi mi eretz moladati v'asher diber li v'asher nishba li l'mal lezarcha ben haaretz hazot hu yishlach malacho lefnecha v'lakachti isha levni misham. Where is Sham? That was my problem. Where is Sham? From there. Where is there? So I would have assumed that the simple way of reading this, that there was what he had said initially, al artzi umoladati. The only problem is, in the same verse where he talks about there, he also mentioned mi beit avi. You know what? There's two things over here. One is, what did Avraham say? The second thing is, what did the Eved understand? I hope you now realize that there was room for misunderstanding over here, even though you would have said, no, Avraham's instructions are very clear. They're very clear until you point out that maybe they're not so clear. And also, when you walk away from the whole thing, Avraham's major emphasis was, don't take my son there. That was really the main point. You know, it almost comes out, bring a wife from there. God's going to help you bring a wife from there. I hope that you're successful. If you're not successful, then I free you from all of this, but don't bring my son there. So the one thing which is an absolute at the end is, don't bring my son there. Part of the problem is, where is there? Where is there is the problem. Should we make that the name of the class today? Where is there? So with that, the Eved makes the vow. Vayikach Eved, he takes the Gemalim, and so on. Vayakam, at the end of Pasuk Yud, Vayakam Vayelech El Aram Narayim El Ir Nahor. And he goes and he travels back to this place called Aram Narayim, where Nahor is. Vayavrecha Gemalim, he parks the camels, Michutz La'ir El Be'er Hamayim, La'it Erev, La'it Tzeta Shoavot. So in the evening time he comes to the place that people are going to go look for their water, Vayomar, or Vayomar, right, to Shelshelet. So if you want, we can read it as a Shelshelet. Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham Hakrein Na Lefanai Hayom. So that's what I pointed out last time, is that he gets there in the late afternoon, in the evening time, and he says, God, do this today. Which means he gives God a very small time frame to accomplish, for God to accomplish his mission. And I just need to just go back to one thing, because I suggested a couple of minutes before that there were two possibilities. One possibility is, what does Avram have in mind? And the other possibility is, what does the Eved or Eliezer understand? And then, of course, there's a third issue which comes into it, and that is, what is God's will? Because Avram said God is going to be sending his malach. So what, meaning, just realize the wonderful parallel now. As Avram is sending his agent to go and accomplish this, God is calling his malach and saying, okay, Avram said, I'm sending a malach, so I'm sending a malach, and what does he tell the malach to do? So I'm just saying is that now we have this parallel taking place on earth and a parallel situation where the malach of Hashem is being sent up above, and I'd love to know what instructions he received, because that's in the background. And it doesn't remain in the back, by the way. It's going to bubble to the surface. As I said, I'm less concerned now with his success or failure as much as I'm concerned with what it is that he thinks he's supposed to do. So let's continue. He gets there into the evening, and he says as follows. V'yomar Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, God, the God of my master, Avraham, Hakrein Nalofnai Hayom. So again, that's the short time frame. Do this today. V'asei Chesed Adoni Avraham, which is beautiful. Avraham is this man who does so much chesed. So the prayer of the Eved, who knows, he sees the inner workings of the house, that he should turn to God and say, God, if anybody's deserving chesed, it's Avraham. Please do chesed for Avraham. Which, by the way, may be why he's so confident that he doesn't need to give God a very long time frame. Who's more deserving than Avraham is? Here I am sitting by this well, and the daughters of the city are coming out to draw water. Vayana ara asher omar eleha. And regarding the girl that I'm going to say to her, Hatein na kadech ve'eshteh, right? And the one that I say, you know, please, can you tip over your pitcher and give me some water? And she'll respond by saying, "Va'amra shetei v'gam gemalecha ishke, otohu chachte la'avdecha liyitzchak, ba'ida ki asita chesed imadoni." That's going to prove this is the right one. Now, but, by the way, halachically, whether this is the right thing to do or not is discussed in the Talmud. But what he's saying is that this is how I'm going to know that this is the right one. Okay. Vayihi hu terem kila ledaber, before he can even finish saying this, vinei Rivka yotzeit, asher yulda l'betuel ben Milka, eshet Nachor, achi Avraham, v'kada al shechma. So immediately somebody comes up. Now for us, not only, yes, he went to the right city, but not only is she from the right city, she happens to be also from a particular family, which would have accomplished Yitzchak's request of Yaakov, more or less, go to the right family. But this is something which Avram never said, unless he did say it. And he never said it, and maybe Eliezer understood this. Or maybe even God told the angel, this is what needs to be accomplished. So now I think I've complicated this, as usual, more than necessary. Vanara Tovat Mar'eh Ma'od Betula V'ishlo Yada V'Terid Ha'ina V'Temalek Hadav V'Ta'al V'Yaret Ha'Eved Likrota. Now, as far as his not wanting to make it happen, he runs to her, and he says, V'Yomer Hagmi'ini Na Ma'at Ma'i Mikadech, can I have some water? V'Tomer Shtei Adonai, and she says, drink. V'Temeher V'Terid Kada Al Yada V'Tishakeim, and she goes and she gives him to drink. V'Tichal Hashkoto, and he finished drinking. By the way, at this point, she's failed the test, or only partially completed it. Vatomer, and now she says, Gam ligmalecha ishav. By the way, this is slightly different, because now she's going to have to go back and get more water. It's not exactly what he said. By the way, if he wanted to say, oh, it didn't work, because she didn't do it in the exact way that he said it. You know, meaning, if you wanted, to, if you're particularly rigid, and you were playing Simon Says, then you can possibly say that she didn't do it properly, but I hope that all of you are very disappointed the way that I'm even entertaining that as a possibility. I'm just going back to this point that his looking at it over here is that she succeeds. And she says, I'm going to go back, and it's actually even more impressive. It's not, I'm going to give you camels, although if you start to think about it, camels drink a lot. So even the thought that, you know, there'll be, you know, enough leftover water for the camels, she says, no, I'm going to go and fill up for the camels, and I'm going to keep bringing them ad im kilu lishtot. Not till I'm out of water, not if there's any leftover water in the pitcher, I will keep filling up water until they've had enough to drink, where it does sound that she has accomplished. V'temaher v'ta'ar kada el ha'shoket v'teretz od el ha'be'er l'shov v'tish av l'kol g'malav. And then she goes and she gives water to all the camels. Vaish mishta'eya la machrish ladat hatzliach Hashem derko in lo. And now he's sitting there, you know, in shock and wondering, wow, I wonder if God has been successful in this, in leading him to where he needed to get to. And I think most of us, if we were in this situation, if we would have said, no, this is what has to happen, I think that we would have said, that's it, it's done already, which means, why is he hesitating at this point? Why does he think that something is still lacking? V'yika asher kilu agmalim lishtot, v'yikach, pay careful attention of the sequence, because he's later going to lie about this. I apologize for putting it that way. V'yika asher kilu agmalim lishtot, v'yikach ish nezem zahav, beka mishkalo, ushneist midim al yadeha, he takes out all this jewelry and he gives her the jewelry. He puts it on her hand. Then, Basukov Kimul Vayomer, he says, Bat Mi'at. And then he says, who are you? By the way, he really should have asked, are you single? That would have been... I know that thought never occurred to you. It probably would have been a good thing, actually, even before you give the jewelry. Rashi cites it. I'll explain. But just know for something. It's debated among commentaries. There is an argument in Midrashim. There is absolutely no biblical evidence for what her age is. We have no idea when she's born, and we have no idea when she dies. We don't, anybody who's going to write that Wikipedia article about Rivka and tell us when she's born and tell us when she dies is using some guesswork, which means what is it that Rashi assumes? He assumes that, and this is all from the Seder Olam, he assumes that Sara dies at the same time as the Akedah. That makes Yitzchak at the Akedah 37 years old. There's a problem with that, and that is that Yitzchak's referred to as a Na'ar. A Na'ar does not sound like somebody who's 37. And I'm going to say it again. There are conflicting midrashim. Part of the problem is the beginning of this week's Parsha Chayisar. It says that Avram comes. So where did he come from? So Rashi says, oh, he came from the Akedah. The other problem is one of geography, is that Avram, after the Akedah, it says he goes back to Beersheva. On the other hand, we find that Sarah dies in Hebron, in Kiryat Arba. So why is he going to Beersheva, and why is she in Kiryat Arba? And some of the commentaries have the most interesting possibilities, including, the Ramban says, don't say that. Why do you have to say the thing he says not to say? The Ramban says, don't say that they were living in two different places. Rather, he has that Avraham's spiritual offices, where he has his outreach center, is by Beersheva. That's where he has his Eshel. That's where people come in from the desert. But the family actually lives in Hebron. Or they live in Beersheva. And then, again, if you want to say it's at the same time, Sarah hears that Avraham's on the way to slaughter their son, so she's following them. So they start off Beersheva, she makes it up to Hebron, and meanwhile he's come back to Beersheva, and Sarah's in Hebron and dies in Hebron, but they weren't living in Hebron at the time. So I'm just saying is that where they're coming from, all this is based upon something which is probably a turn of phrase, and Avram came, which means it just could be a phrase, and Avram came to eulogize her, he came to mourn her, he came to bury her. On the other hand, if you do the math in terms of Terach, Terach dies, I'm not going to say exactly now, but Terach dies, correct, 2 years prior to this. And there are those who suggest that Avram went back to deal with his father's death and to deal with the funeral, and then Avram comes back, and now he finds out that his wife has died as well. But the assumption that Yitzchak is 37 and Sarah dies as a result of the Akedah, because she's 127, and she was 90 years old when he was born. So therefore, right after the Akedah, it also says, and this is also not so fair, we're told that Rivka's born. So she's born, but it doesn't say we're told she's born. We're told that Avram heard about her being born. We're also told Avram heard about her father being born. Doesn't mean he was born at this point. It means that the families were not really in that close contact, and now Avram hears about all this. Why tell us about Rivka? Because we need to know about Rivka moving forward. But the assumption that she's 3 years old actually may be something else completely different. What it may be is just like Avraham recognizes God when he's 3 years old, what you should recognize is that the experience of Rivka, of leaving her home and leaving her family and leaving her birthplace and moving on to the land of Canaan is a replica of what Avraham does. So therefore, if Avram can recognize God at 3, she does as well. Avram's a man of chesed. Over here, this whole test is one of chesed. So therefore, if you want to make her an Avram type of character, so then you want to show her also at the age of 3 recognizes that God exists. And I'm saying all of this is much more important on a midrashic level. The other thing is that maybe they want to insist, as the text does, is that she's virginal and that she's pure and so on and so forth. So therefore, the earlier you get her out of there, the easier it is to convince one of such things. But as I said, you have no idea how old she is. You do know one thing. You do know that there's 20 years of infertility. You have to ask yourself, if she's 3 when they get married, there's not 20 years of infertility, right? Let's just start with that. If, on the other hand, I'll throw out a number. I know that Yitzchak is 40 years old and they get married. How do I know that? Because it'll say it in next week's parasha. So Yitzchak is 40. How old is she? None of us know how old she is. You want to say she's 14? There's a Tosfot that says she's 14. If that makes you happier, then great. Right? Yitzchak is 60 years old when Yaakov and Esav are born. We don't know how old she is. You want to say that she's 34 at this point? Fine, she's 34. You could tell me any number that you want, but I'll say it again. We have no idea. But just like Yitzchak is called the Na'ar by the Akedah, she's called the Na'ara over here. And my suggestion is that Na'ara is that she's probably a teenager. She's probably, again, the age 14, 15, 16, I think makes a great deal of sense. And most importantly, it fits in. to the text. I don't know how many of you can imagine right now a three-year-old go running and filling up the water and bringing it back and forth. Again, this needs to make some sense on some level. And I already told you why making her 3 years old makes a lot of sense when you now keep in mind the Avra narrative, because essentially this is, once again, it is the Avra narrative being repeated on itself, and especially the Avra narrative on the Midrashic level, more so on the literal level. Anyway, he gives her the jewelry, and then he says to her, "Not are you single?" Right, that's what we're up to. Rather, he says to her, "Bat miat," right? Who are you? Pasakaf gimel vayomer bat miat hagidina li hayesh beit avicha makom lanu lalun. Now again, why is that important? Do you have a place for us to stay? Where did that come into this whole discussion? Vatomei lav bat betuel anochi ben milka ashiyoda lenachor. Right, and she says who she is, which now he should realize this is the Avram family. Vatoma ilav gam tevin gam mispo ravi manu gam makom lalun vayikod haish vayishtachu lashem. The Eved, now called an Ish, bows down, and he says, Vayomer, Baruch Hashem. By the way, only non-Jews say Baruch Hashem in Chumash. A whole bunch of them. Just find a Jew who does. The Jews now make up for that. Vayomer, Baruch Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, Asher lo azav chastov amitomi im Adoni, Anochi bederech nachani Hashem beit achi Adoni. So, he is understanding that God has taken me to this particular place, and I want to go back and ask the question. Does he understand that that's what Avram told him to do? Which means, did Avram tell him to go to that particular place, or does he see this as being some, you know, it's even more than I asked for. Like, I was looking for just a girl who's going to agree, but by the way, there's something missing right now. The girl hasn't agreed. Right, that's actually going to be one of the key parts. But his response over here, he's overwhelmed that this test was passed. Now the question is, was the test passed completely? Because this is the right girl and the right family, or is this even extra credit because it happens to be the right family? And now you realize which family it is not that simple. And we've already saw before that maybe Avram said this, maybe he didn't say it, maybe he meant it, maybe he didn't mean it, or maybe that's God's hand in all of this. You know, God is allowed to enter into our lives. Pasuk kafchet v'taratz ha'na'ara v'taged lebeit ima ki dvarim ha'ele u'lerivka ach. So she told over what happened. U'lerivka ach u'shmo Levan v'yaratz Levan ela isha chutz ela ayin. He went running out. V'yihi kirot etanezem v'tatzmidim. When he sees the jewelry al yidei achato, ukishamo et divrei Rivka, and he heard her tell over all of the things. Achoto lemor kol diber elai ha'ish, v'yabo ala ish v'neomer al gmalim ala ayin, v'yomer bo baruch Hashem. Now this is classical mirroring, right? He heard what this man said, so now he comes back and says the same thing to him. Lama tamod b'chutz v'nochi b'niti habayit u'makom l'gmalim, v'yabo ish habayta. Again, obviously, at least in my mind, and it says it. I mean, he sees the jewelry, maybe hoping that there's more jewels to be gotten. By the way, don't worry. All of the wealth that Lavan ends up getting, Yaakov's going to walk away with. I mean, I hope I didn't ruin the story for you, but we're getting all this back. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. They give him food, and he says, I'm not going to eat until I speak. Vayomer Eved Avraham Anochi. And God blessed him with all these things. And Sarah had a child. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. And my master made me swear, Lo tikach isha livni bibnota knani, asher nochi yoshev baritzo. Right? Do not let my son marry someone local. Im lo el beit avi telech, ve el mishpachti, ve lakachti isha livni. Okay? Do you all now realize that there may be a slight problem over here? So that's why I spent so much time before emphasizing this point. So now, what exactly did Avram say? Or what does he understand? And I do think that there could be place, you know, for both to be true. But this I hope you recognize, is somewhat of a problem. Im lo el beit avi telech ve el mishpachti ulach isha livni, va'amar adoni ulay lo delech isha acharai. Maybe she's not going to come with me. Hashem asher talachti lefanav yishlach malacho itach v'yitzliach darkecha v'lakachti shalavni mimshachim beit avi. Wow. Is that exactly what Avram had said? Yeah, that's exactly what Avram had said. Yeah. This whole emphasis over here is that Malach is going to go to the house and going to bring somebody from there. Az tinakem ilalti ki tavo el mishpachti. Again, three verses in a row he says mishpachti, and we don't know if Avram ever said mishpachti. V'mloinu lach v'yitinakim ilalti. And if they don't listen to what, you know, God is going to do and God's going to bring you there and so on, which means all that Avram said is you're going to go to my birthplace. And again, if you want to go back and read it again, Pasuk Zion, right? It says, Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, Asher Lakachani Mibeit Avi, Meretz Malati, Vasher Diber Li, Vasher Nishba Li Lemor, Lazaracha, right? Hu Yishlach Malach Tola Fenech, V'Lakachti Shal Avni Misham. Which means he is being very specific in how he's quoting it. And again, it's possible that that's how he understands this. And let's just read a little bit more. Vavo Hayom Ela'ayin, and I came to the water, va'omar, and I said, Hashem Elokei Aduni Avraham, im yeshchana matzliach darkei asher enochi alecha leha, right, please let me be successful, which by the way is not word for word what he said. If you're already going to say, and this is what I said, quote, it's not word for word what he said. Hinei enochi nitzav le'inamayim, v'ya ha'alma, you can decide if it's the same words or not. Hiyotzeit l'shov, v'amarti aleha, hashkeni na ma'at mai mikadech, v'amra elai gam atashtei, v'gam lebrech eshav, which is also not exactly what he had said, right? Rather, it's what happened, but it's not what he had said exactly. Hi ha'isha, asher ochiach Hashem leben Adonai. Ani terem achale ledaber el libi, v'nei rivka yotzeit, v'kadal shechma, v'tered aina, v'tishav, v'amra elai, which is again also not exactly the way she said it. And I asked her, "Va'omar, bat miat, who are you?" Va'tomer bat Petuel ben Nachor, asheil dali milka, va'asim hanezem alapa v'atzmidim ayada. And then I gave her the jewelry. So have I convinced you at all that in the repetition of the story, as again, there are three moving parts here. One moving part is what Avram actually said. Another moving part is what actually happened. The third moving part is now when he tells over what happened, which is why I said if he would tell it over again, I would have a whole nother, you know, couple of years worth of material. Yeah, good. Yeah, that's a whole nother part of the problem I'm not getting into. The Ramban likes to write about this in a number of places. Where was Avram actually born? There's lots of evidence. I'm not going there. That's another time where Avram's actually born and the various.
So like, where I'm is not. That family
I'm not. Yeah. It's more complicated than you think.
Okay,
oh God, getting married is like an akedah. I just hope you don't speak at Sheva Brachos. it's an interesting thought, but no, I made it. I made an Avram's experience. Yeah, I said Avram leaving his birthplace and going, what she's going to do when she leaves with the Eved will be very similar, the same way that Avram is saying. And God took me out. How did God take him out? So God now is taking her out. How is God taking her out? By sending Avram's Eved to take her out. How was Avram taken out? It could be that again, I want to get into this now. It could be that God told Terach. He put an idea in Terach's head. Terach, travel to Eretz Canaan. Got to get Avram out of here. Got to get him on the way. We got to start moving. You know, destiny awaits. We don't have time to wait back over here. So far, have I convinced you at all that the Eved does not necessarily say exactly what has happened or taken place? We're all okay with that. It could be before we started, you were not necessarily aware of, and there's much more. I'm just pointing out some of the things. There's much more. So, you know, I have another whole bunch of pages of sources. Essentially, anything that you think, you're going to find one of the commentaries who are going to be saying this. And the Ramban, for example, is going to argue that, no, it really happened this way. But the Torah doesn't always tell us things exactly in the right sequence. But it's what he wanted to give it to her, but it really happened like this. So then you have to wonder a little bit, you know, to what extent are you willing to make everything, you know, reconciled? I mean, you heard what Jerry said before. Jerry said he was so excited, so therefore she was talking about emotional truth as opposed to historical truth. And so you like what she says and not the Ramban? Look, as he proceeds, he's going to say a couple of things. One of the things that he's going to say, he's going to tell the story. I gave the jewelry. We were just now up to the jewelry, right? That was Pasuk Mem Zayin. And I bowed down. Ve'ekod ve'eshtachav el Hashem. Ve'verachat Hashem alokei Adoni Avraham. Asher nechem b'derech emet. Lekacht et bat achi Adoni livno. I bowed down to God and thanked him for giving me the, again, it's the right girl. Vata im yeshchem osim chesed ve'emet imal et Adoni, agiduli, v'im lo agiduli, v'efne al yamin ol smal. Now, if you're going to be willing to be part of God's plan, it's really what he's saying here, then let me know. If not, then I'm going to move on. I'll go right, I'll go left, I'll find another girl. Which is actually interesting, because the commentaries work very hard. What does right mean? What does left mean? Is this Yishmael? Is it Lot? And so on. No. He probably means going back to what Avram actually told him. Go to the hometown, go to the house, you know, one door to the right, go to the house, one door to the left, and start looking for a different girl. And again, I would actually think that that's true. Vayan lavanu b'tuel vayomru. May Hashem yatzah hadavar. They heard the whole narrative. God did this. Lo nuchal deber elecha ra'otov. Hine rifka lefanecha kach v'lech uti isha leben adonecha kasher diber Hashem. As God said. Now this now has gotten turned into God said that this is the right girl. The only problem is that God actually to say that, they then go in and say, well, maybe we should wait a little bit, exactly how much pasuk nun hey. And he responds, Vayomer lehem, al ta'achriuti, don't slow me down, v'Hashem hitzliach derki, shaluchini v'elecha le'aduni, let me go, send me back to my master. I mean, why do you want to frustrate God's plan in this world? And then finally I ask her, are you willing to go? And she says, yes, that shall go, and then you know the way the story ends. Let's read a couple of things quickly. In source number 6, the Radak says that birthplace is mishpachto. That's what it means. You go to my birthplace. That was as if he said the family. Those who like this, the Rashbam in number 7 says the same thing. Rav Avram ben Arambam in source number 8 says the same thing. They all understand it, that's what Avraham meant when he said to go to the place that I'm from. He means to go to my family. In source number 9, the Chizkuni says, El Artzi Charan, Ve'el Moladeti, Or Kazdim, which gets a little bit to your problem. Eini Rotze Shetirash Shum Nachrit Et Nechasav, which is interesting because he turns the whole thing into a real estate issue. One of the points, the background of the whole story is really the Cham versus the Shem family, the Canaanites versus people from Shem, and that would be the main reason to go back. Look at source number 11, well, maybe 10 first. Rav Chaim Paltiel is also one of the Balei HaTosfot, where he says, Tema, Mara Abba Mishpachto, Vayu Kulam Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why is his family any better? Now, there's actually a Ran that talks about this, which is very famous. So I just want to point out that this is very similar to that. V'yesh lo mudayu yodea she'im haita mikarevet etzlo haita lemida yirat shemayim. Is that nonetheless it was understood by Avraham that his family were people who were willing to listen and to hear and to move towards belief. Right. Correct. So it's saying that, no, I understand that these are people that would believe. In source 11, which is the Midrash HaGadol, El Amar V'Hov Ani Megayer, Agayer Mimishpachti Mibet Avi Shehin Kodim Lekol V'Lot El Shehin Krovei Tshuva, is that one has an obligation to help people. This is laws of tzedakah. You help family before you help strangers. And spiritual matters as well. You teach family before you teach strangers. And he's saying is that therefore Avram is saying, no, I have an obligation over here in order to bring them. So aside from the efficiency, which Rav Chaim Paltiel spoke about, the Abarbanel in source 12, and I skipped for you pages and pages of the Abarbanel, if you're really intrigued, you go learn the whole thing. And he'll point out all the places that he noticed, there are others that have other lists, of where the Eved says things which aren't accurate. And he says the reason that the whole thing is repeated is in order to focus on all of this, you know, this dozen or so different times that he doesn't, that he says something in an inappropriate way. The Ramban is what I told you before, HaKatuv Azeh Yichaser HaMa'aseh. It talks about, again, the sequence of the jewelry versus the identification. So you look, and he does, and he actually tries to smooth it over. Okay, Rav Hirsch. He addresses the same problem that we already saw raised, that they're also idolaters. So what sense does it make to go there as opposed to over here? Again, aside from the point that the Canaanites from Cham are cursed. I mean, that should be a problem. They're cursed. But Rav Hirsch says, Yireh Eliezer shetat ima isha la'ofya ve'individuali shel Yitzchak, hari yesh l'skor ki kasher dechav v'hamet benot Kanan, gam anshei Aram ayu ovdei avodah zarah, lefichach lo elilei Kanan, ela hashchitut hamusarit shebiknan hayta hamaniya l'achlato. Elilut hi b'yisodot toyot ha'sechel, ulzeh yesh takana. Ach shchitut musarit tofeset et kol ha'avaya ha'anoshit, al kol omek ha'nishama v'haregesh. V'kan gam Avram lo yichol l'kavot l'mso l'vno ishat snua v'tora b'musra asher tavid l'beito et pninit atzilut hadat v'taharat ha'musar. Which is very beautifully written. This is Rav Breuer writing, the Hebrew Rav Hirsch. And what he's saying is that they were both mistaken in terms of belief systems, both in Canaan and Avram's family, but Avram's family were kinder people and people that were elevated and people that had class. And he said that these are the kinds of things you just can't teach. Rather, he felt that to try to change the behavior of the Canaanites would have been something which was quite difficult. Again, all of this is an echo of what the Ran says as well. The Siftei Kohen in source 15. Im lo el beit obet avi ve el mishpachti telech. Va Avram lo amar lo ela ki el artzi ve el moladati telech. So again, this is really the major problem we've been looking at. Amar lo avir hamidina gorem. Kachi vin hu. Ulezer ma vine na rasha omar vachule ezo shetia. Ukisha alota va amra bat pituel amar. ונחני השם בית אחי אדוני. אני הייתי חושב שכוונת אדוני הוא לקח לו אישה מארצו, אפילו שלא תהיה ממשפחתו. Which means he's saying that Eliezer understood, or the Eved understood, who he was supposed to, it was anybody from this area. But once he came to this place and meets actually somebody from the family of Avraham, Ata שנחני השם בית אחי אדוני נראה שכוונתו לא הייתה אלו לבית אביו ממש, לזה אמר אם לא בית אבי תלך. Now, when I said before you can understand it in two ways, what he's saying is that Eliezer initially understood it the way that we all understood it, just go to this area. But then when he actually ends up in the family of Avraham, he goes, oh, maybe that's what Avram really meant when he said it, so therefore the success of finding Avram's family is what convinced him that was actually the instructions, and therefore when he repeats it, now he's internalized what he thinks he has understood, and that's really what Avram had wanted. So it's not just that it's clever, it actually rings very true. It goes a little bit further than you went. It's not just emotionally as excited. It's that revealed truth. It's revealed truth now has changed the perception of what was supposed to take place in the story at all. So again, that I would think is, that's the Siftei Kohen. Siftei Kohen has actually generally very Kabbalistic ideas. The Meshech Chachma in Source 18 goes along a similar line. This is the Meshech Chachma, right? And he says that, you know, Avram said, Artsi, V'itachen ki Avram lo amar shelech el mishpachto, rak el ha'ir, shenolad sham. U'misham yikach isha, afim ina minishpachto, rak shetia min ha'ir hazot, right? Avram said the city, and not specifically the family. Rak Eliezer ratza la'amit ze lahem, asher ha'davar b'gzera mukhletet uv'shkacha pratit. Actually, the words that you used before. Right? Kasher kach haya be'emet. Amar she'Avraham tziver lekach mimishpachto mibeit aviv. Ulai savar shezen nirmaz ba'amru ve'el moladati. And then he goes and deals with more of a halachic question, which doesn't concern me that much right now. There are those which I've also skipped along the way that says some of the changes Eliezer says is not to insult the family, rather because he doesn't want to insult them, and he wants to try to create some kind of peace between the two of them. But I just want to finish up and say clearly what I was hinting at from the very beginning, that there's Avram sending his Eved on his mission, and there is now, we realize, there's a possibility of understanding the mission in more than one way. But then Avraham declares God will be involved in this, which is really great. I hope you appreciate how great this is, because this, more than anything else, tells us about Avraham's faith. And Avraham is saying, no, God will, you'll be successful. And then even if you're not, but you know, you're going to be successful. So once that happens, again, this is my imagination, is then the heavens get moved and God says to this angel, okay, Avraham said, you got to go. And the angel then goes. And, you know, to what extent, you know, whatever angels mean, to what extent, whenever Avram traveled, did God then micromanage or shkacha pratit and send the angel to take after Avram, you know, sometimes to pull him out of a furnace, and sometimes to help him at war, and sometimes to help him, you know, in other situations, wars of kings and so on. But Avram always had this sense of God taking care of him and protecting him and saying, you are going to do something for me, don't worry. Avram's admitting here how he really feels religiously. This is Avram's religious experience. God takes care of me. You're doing something for me. I'm elderly. I can't do this right now. So God is going to be with you. So now once God is with him, so now God gets involved in the story and God says, okay, if I'm going to make the shidduch, then I'm going to make the shidduch the way that I want to make the shidduch. Which means, it's what Avram said. It's back to his place and back to his hometown. But Avram can say, but God can say, and this is exactly the family. And presumably what happens over here, because these are the words of Eliezer, this is what God did. He understands that Avram is the spiritual giant, and God is helping Avram, and God has led him to this place. And therefore, even if it wasn't necessarily Avraham's will, and again, I'm willing to entertain that possibility, that was that our dangling shum over there, right? But even if it wasn't Avraham's intention, apparently it was God's intention. And that's what Eliezer comes on to realize, and he comes on to say, so it's not a question of Eliezer changing the truth, it's Eliezer recognizing the truth. It's Eliezer now recognizing what exactly has taken place over here, and then very successfully articulating this to the others involved in the story, and saying, this is God's will. Avram sent me over here. Avram sent him over here by saying that a malach is going to take you, God is going to send a malach to take you to the particular place, and you're going to be successful. So now he realizes this, you know, Avram sent, Avram spoke, but the fingerprints of God are all over this, and this is where I was supposed to be. So as I said, I recognize, and I was trying to point out the differences along the way in the way the story is told, and there are many of them that can keep us busy for a very long time. But nonetheless, this seems to be what has taken place, because as I said, there's various moving parts to all of this. There's Eliezer, or the Eved, doing, and the reason why I like to call him Eliezer, as I said from the beginning, because God helped him. What do you call somebody who God helped? Eliezer. So therefore, I don't even care about the previous Eliezer. This is Eliezer, because God is helping him on the mission, just as Avram said that God is going to help you on the mission by sending his malach to help you. So the malach, in this case, of course, remains anonymous. We don't know the name of the malach, and we're specifically not told the name of this person. Maybe on the one hand, you could say that he changes so many things. He says things which isn't truthful. We don't want to hurt his reputation. We don't want to say who his name is. We don't want to say Lashon Hara. But on the other hand, I'm very, very comfortable with him being Eliezer, not because of our theory of conservation of servants of Avraham, but rather because look what actually happened. God sent the malach to help him, and this all did take place quite miraculously. And most importantly, Yitzchak ended up with the right shidduch.